Jesus, it is in your mighty, matchless, perfect name that we pray. Amen. You guys can have a seat.
Well, good morning, Vine Church. We are glad you're here with us on finally, it's spring, right? Can I get into that? Yes, we are so thrilled for you to be here today. My name is Chris. I'm the pastor here at our Vine Church Grand Road campus. We're one church in two locations, so we have another location over in Merrifield on Gallows Road. But while we're two churches, two congregations, our mission remains the same, is to connect people to Christ so that our lives can bear fruit. And we want to let you know that you might see a couple people wearing shirts too that say that a little motto that goes along with that, you belong here. We want you to know that regardless of where you're from, what your religious background is, that you belong here at Vine Church. Our desire is to connect folks to Christ regardless of where you are. One of the ways we do that is through our connection card. Hopefully you received a bulletin on your way in. If you did, if you can just take that out with me for a minute. Don't mind the gentleman behind me setting up to get to our sermon. We're doing something a little bit differently today. But if you just take your bulletin out and look to the back page here, you see this is our connection card. If you could just tear this out with me. And so whether you've been with us before or if this is your very first time, if you can just take some time to fill this out, we greatly appreciate it. There's just some room for your name, some contact information. You can provide your email address. We send out a weekly e-news, just a short email to let you know things coming up in the life of the church and our community. And you'll also see some ways to connect down here at the bottom. And you can check off anything that we can tell you a little bit more about. And on the back side, there's some room for prayer requests. And it'll take prayer seriously at Vine Church. And we will be praying for you throughout the week, whatever you write on that slip of paper. So if you flip over to the back page of the bulletin, there's a couple of things I just want to bring to our attention coming up in the life of the church and in the community. And one of those is today, immediately following the service, I'm going to ask if you can just take a couple of minutes to join us outside. So if you can exit through this door, in the back of the parking lot, our Vine Books and Movies group, which is a group that reads books together and goes to movies together like once a month or so. And it's led by Shelley Camilla Fadilla, so she can just stand up and wave. So our Vine Books and Movies group, they built a free little library, which is a 24/7 community little shack library. It's about like this big or so. There's books in, and the idea is you can go there anytime, look at what's in there. There's kids' books, adults' books. Take a book, and you can also put books in there. Well, we're going to have a ribbon cutting ceremony right after the service. We're going to have a big cake, so we need a lot of people to eat the cake with us and just join us for that. We also have a bunch of books. I know some people brought some. We have a bunch of books to give away, too. So we're going to set them out on tables. You can go through, feel free to take a book home, hang out with a couple folks, and help us celebrate just after the service. If you want to know anything more about books and movies, the group is open to everybody, all ages, so feel free to talk to Shelly about that. And then also, on Sunday, April 29th, which is a couple weeks, we're going to have our next pastries with Pastor Chris, and that will be also immediately following our normal 9:30 service. We're going to go over to the fellowship hall, so if you've been new to Vine Church, you just have some questions, just a time to sit down together and talk a little bit about what Vine Church is about Pastor Chris, how did I get here, what our story is, to answer anything that we can help you with. Just an informal time to do that, so join us about like 45 minutes or so, and we'll have definitely. We like to eat here, we like to eat and drink coffee, so join us for that tomorrow connection part. And then also, in a couple weeks, on Monday, April 23rd, we have an opportunity to join with some other community churches for an Alpha course. And if you don't know what Alpha is, it's a non-threatening opportunity to learn more about Christianity, whether you're skeptical of faith, but you just want to get an exposure to what Christianity is about, or whether you're relatively new to faith, or maybe you grew up in church and you don't have a full understanding of who Jesus is and what this whole thing is about. It's going to be held over at Angelica at Mosaic, the Angelica Theater. And so we have a couple folks that are going to be helping with that, and just once again, a great time to meet some other people. It's 8 weeks on Monday nights. If you can make some of them, that's fine. You can just mark your connection card. We can give you a little bit more information about that opportunity. And so just mark anything that you have interest in on your connection card. We'll pass around baskets at the end of the service for you to deposit this in, as well as any tithes and offerings that you might have. And if it's your first time with us, don't feel compelled to give. Know that your connection card is a gift to us. So there's also a piece of to do things and what I learned. And so we're going to be doing some drawing during this sermon series. And there's some room on your sermon notes for you to draw along with me. And I like to draw cartoons. If you draw stick figures, you are A-okay. So whatever that looks like for you, there's some space there to help join that. So today we're starting a new sermon series that we call Happy. And so the next few weeks, we're going to address the question, how do we draw lasting happiness in our lives? How do we draw lasting happiness in our lives? And this is a question that's been around since really the dawn of humanity. There were some philosophers, you might have heard of them, like Socrates and Aristotle and Plato. They wrote volumes about what happiness is and how do we achieve it. And it's interesting, if you take your phone or computer and you Google the word happiness, you'll find that there's just about, I found that there were 342 million search results. 342 million search results. And if you go to Amazon and you look up happiness, you'll find that there's over 68,000 titles on Amazon. There's actually a research center. There's a whole group of researchers, psychologists and sociologists and anthropologists, at Berkeley, University of Berkeley in California, who have a happiness research institute where they're constantly studying happiness. And so this idea is that we're all on the quest in some way, shape, or form to be happy. And we have a lot of ideas about what makes us happy in life. Most of us have an idea, something that we're pursuing, something that we enjoy that makes us happy. And so I actually want to ask you, there's some room at the, right there in your notes, what is it, what comes to mind when you think about what makes you happy? What are some things that make you, at the entrances here, I have some boards there that some people were drawing pictures and writing things about what makes them happy. Just shout out, what are some things that make you happy?
Babies.
Babies. Anybody like babies make you happy? Yeah. Especially if they're not yours, right? Like, you can hand them back. What was that?
Coffee.
Yes, coffee. So me, my little, so, like, here's my coffee cup little thing. And what kind of coffee do I like?
Pumpkin.
Pumpkin. We like pumpkin coffee all year long. July, I'm drinking pumpkin coffee. It makes me happy. What else makes you happy?
Flowers.
What's that?
Flowers.
Flowers.
Oh, flowers. Yeah, flowers, spring, daffodils, they're coming up. Anybody else? What else makes you happy?
Doing for others,
helping other people. Yeah, there's something about that bring happiness. Funny, isn't it? Bring happiness to somebody else. Anybody else in the chat?
Singing.
Music, right? Yeah, are musicians up here? Makes you happy? Diane?
Community, family, friends, church.
Community, family, friends, church. So for me, yeah. Hanging out with people I love and enjoy. And what's even better is when you're at the beach. Yeah, when you're at the beach with the people that you love and enjoy hanging out. Also for me, I like running. I like to run races, have a couple coming up out. It's spring, lots and lots of good stuff. Most of us, we can all draw something that makes us happy. And what's interesting is that we all think we know what makes us happy. That we make predictions about what makes us happy. And in order to do this, in order to find happiness, we do things like take a job, some of us quit a job, some of us marry to be happy, some of us remarry to find happiness. Some of us keep our money to be happy, some of us give away our money to be happy. There's many responses that we have to this pursuit of happiness. And in this way, we're all searching for a way to be happy, that we're trying to fit puzzle pieces together and find what is it that's the secret sauce that makes us happy. And we make predictions about what are the things that we can pursue that make us happy. And the way that we do that, interesting, is that there's a part of our brain right here, put that around this guy, there's part of our brain that's Jesus. Fun Jesus. So your Jesus that you're drawing you off makes it figure Jesus. You are totally elaborate. But so Jesus shows up in the beginning of Matthew 5. He shows up on the top of this kind of mountain area. And when he does, I want you to imagine being at your most favorite concert venue. And whether that's at Jiffy Live or Wolf Trap or some other very wherever that is, imagine the crowd, the size of the crowd there. Everybody can't wait. Their favorite show is coming up. And there's all these people that are standing there waiting, and they're waiting for Jesus in this case. They're depending on his every word. And they can't wait because they've heard about this Jesus and how he's done these miracles. They're like, oh my gosh, he's going to be teaching. He's going to be doing the most awesome things. He's going to bring us miracles. Oh my gosh, let's wait. Watch, and what is he doing? He opens his mouth. And the scripture tells us, Matthew tells us, that seeing the crowds, he, Jesus, went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth, and he taught them. He taught them, saying, blessed or happy are the poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So Matthew, let's just back up. So Matthew is highlighting the opening of Jesus' mouth. They're very interesting that he has to say that, because usually you just say, well, so-and-so said something, but he's saying he opened his mouth. They're waiting on every word that he's about to say, and he taught them something that was going to rock their world. That this is a turning point, that Jesus is about to change the definition of happiness. And so when we're seeking happiness that doesn't change, that means that we have to change something. And the first thing that we have to change is our definition of happiness. That if we're seeking happiness that doesn't change, then we must change our definition. So that we need to change our definition of happiness. That it's easy for us to assume different definitions for one word. And so it's important for us to first look at what Jesus' definition of happiness is and how he draws happiness. So if you think about it, your definition of something is going to determine what you pursue. And so I'm going to describe to you two different ways that we usually think of happiness in relation to religion or relationship to God. The first is that some of us grew up in a church or have a church experience or religious experience. We're like, you should not be happy, right? Like, don't you dare smile in church. Don't you dare, like have fun or laugh. Don't you dare even get to talk to somebody in church that we kind of sing this song, or maybe you have the experience of singing this song, you know, if you're happy and you know it, just repent. Right? That's like our religious background, like, you know, God doesn't want me to be happy. He wants me miserable. He wants me to come into church and be like, like, we've met church people like that before. I can give you opportunities to do so if you so choose. I know some of you folks like that. And so many of us have an idea of happiness as being linked to this evil, quick pleasure that we should not be happy in the presence of God. And I dare say that's a false definition of happiness. But for others of us, we think happy is almost religious. That basically when we're happy, that means that God approves of what we're doing. That when we find happiness in something, that means that God is happy and the crowds would have been used to hearing these mannerisms presented from very powerful officials. And those powerful officials from folks like the Romans, they'd be tied to ways of prosperity and behavior and reward. Many of us are familiar with the sayings of Ben Franklin, right? Like if I said early to bed,
early to rise.
The early bird gets the like we have these sayings that we hear over and over and that are embedded in us. That's the same way for the people of this time, that they would have expected certain things. The Romans tied happiness to ways of prosperity and behavior and reward. And so they're called mannerisms because they've adapted this Greek word makarios, which means happy or blessed. But what's interesting is that this word makarios. There's also a second option that our gospel writer Matthew could have used to mean the word happy or blessed. And this is the second word that's called eulogitum. And this word also means happy or blessed, but it's in a religious sense. It's like the way that if you read in the book of Psalms, you'll see the words like bless the Lord or to speak well of. That it's an ancient word that has a religious connotation. But guess which word that Matthew describes as the direction that Jesus is going? He doesn't use this, he uses this. And so Jesus basically breaks all the rules here because he's using something that the Romans would have pertained to things in our lives of prosperity and getting things. And he ties it, instead of the source being those things, he's tying it to God. He's tying it to God. He's breaking the rules here that you should not be using mannerisms to connect to any kind of religious figure or any kind of God. That he's not tying this idea of happiness to a thing. He's just saying no thing will ever make you happy. The only one that can make you happy, that is a connection to God. And so for Jesus, happiness, his definition of happiness is this. It's a state of peace with God. That's his definition. It's not the things that we chase after. It's not the ups and downs. But it's that we can have a sustained peace with God. And he's crossing that sacred and secular divide. And so how can you tell the definition of happiness that you're pursuing in life? Well, I think you can examine this. Are you at peace? tokoi. He's saying these are the tokoi in spirit, the people that literally have absolutely nothing. So by saying this, Jesus is doing something really, really crazy, because guess what? This group of people, the Romans and the Greeks, said that this group of people showed that these were people that God didn't care about, that God didn't care about. That they were doing so bad because they had done something bad, they didn't deserve it, that they were neglected by God. But yet, Jesus is drawing the tokoi connected to the greatest state of happiness that one can imagine. He's offending everybody that's in the crowd. You imagine what that would be like. You know, you're expecting one thing, but Jesus is saying, no, it's the tokoi in spirit. That, and I think it's the same thing for us, that a lot of times we think that Jesus should just be the, you know, comforter, he should, you know, let us know through love and be kind and all that stuff, but that would be warm and fuzzy, but if Jesus doesn't challenge you, if he doesn't stretch you, you know, then if he doesn't disturb us, then there's something wrong, because that's Jesus' point. We usually connect our happiness to being self-dependent, to having stuff and houses and money and all the things that we want in life, and we connect it to the things that we can achieve. We connect it to work. We connect it to all these things, and yet Jesus is saying, no, it's not a state of having. It's a state of being. It's a state of relationship. Because our work and our stuff and the things that we have, and dare I say, even the people that we put our dependence of happiness on, all of these things at one point in our lives will fall away. They will all fall apart. If you've been in a job before and it ended or you moved, and if you've never gone back to visit, I recently had a chance to visit my old science laboratory at the University of Maryland where I used to work. And the funny thing is, when you walk in, it's great to see everybody and, you know, check up, especially if things ended well, right? You're able to see and visit and check in and, you know, see your old desk. But guess what? Life went on without you.
Yeah.
Imagine that. And sometimes it's hard for us to imagine. But your job will continue without you being here. If something should happen to you, you know, those things will continue without you. But we think that we're so important. We think that if we find the meaningful and that it's all about us. But Jesus is saying no. Don't allow those things to be the source of your happiness, the source of your dependence. Because at some point in our lives, something will happen that will take away this. It will happen. And if it hasn't already, then sometime I don't know when, but it will. That no thing can make you happy. And so if we continue, so we say the tokoi in spirit, and now that we look at the word spirit, the word that Jesus using here is pneuma. Pneuma. It's the same word that pneuma. Pneumonia, we get that from, right? It's a sense of breathing. It's interesting. The same word that means spirit, it's the same word for breath. It's the same word for breath. So literally, Jesus is saying, blessed are those who are so out of breath. Those that have nothing left. Anybody ever run a 5K race or a race before? Yeah, so I run a lot and like to race. You know, one of the ways that I can tell that I've run a good race, at the finish line, I'm out of breath. That I have nothing left in me. That I know that whatever I have given it up, I have given it out. A good race is when we have nothing left, is when we're out of breath. And so Jesus is saying that when we are emptied out of all our own self-sufficiency, you know, can you imagine being that dependent on God for your next breath? That's these people. He's saying that's when you are out of breath in life, you are in a position for God to do the most amazing thing you can imagine. That's the place of God's blessedness. When you're poor in spirit, it doesn't matter what these things look like, because whatever you have in life, whatever you have, becomes a gift. That life becomes a gift. The breath in your lungs that you wake up every morning, that becomes a gift. You begin to see things differently. position because of them. That's where the kingdom of God is. That the kingdom of heaven isn't a place, it's not a gift card. It means that we are imbibing Jesus' reign and rule right here and right now, because we're letting him be the Lord of our life and everything in it. And so there's this quote I just want to share with you briefly from my devotional Oswald Chambers. It's one of my ulcers eyes. You can get online, find more books on it. I read it every day. This section that he shares here really stood out to me. He says, as long as you think that you are valued to God, he cannot choose you, because you have purposes of your own to serve. But if you want to see him act, you allow him to take you to the end of your own self-sufficiency. Then he can choose you to go with him. And that means fulfillment of purposes, which he does not discuss with you. It's not a matter of our equipment and what we have, it's a matter of our poverty. It's not what we bring with us, but what God puts into us. And as Christians, those of us who follow Christ, we are not here for our own purpose at all. We're here for the purpose of God. And the two are not the same. So if we go back to the question, where should we invest our lives to find lasting happiness? Well, I know from my own life experience, and many of your experiences, whether from the past, the present, or the future, that when your happiness depends on things and people and places that will change, your happiness will always be changing. But if you desire to be happy no matter what, your happiness won't change when it depends on Christ, who does not change. That's the point, is that your happiness does not change, will not change, when it depends on who doesn't change. And the only one who does not change is Christ. It is God. It's God in full form, in full presence here on earth. And so the challenge, maybe instead of asking God to make us happy, maybe we should be asking God to make us desperate. Desperate for him. Because we can attempt to draw happiness in so many ways, but when it does not change, when we depend on Christ, we can realize that no matter what, when you're sick, when you get that diagnosis or someone you love, when you lose your job, when you get promoted, when you don't get promoted, when you get to the school of your choice or you get rejected, when somebody hits you in the parking lot, I know it doesn't happen, but when they hit you in the parking lot, when you win the award or the raffle, when your family is the best thing in your life, or whether right now it's the worst thing, whether there's people getting along or whether people are not getting along, when you can submit all those things and you can depend your happiness on Christ, I can guarantee that your happiness will not change. Because it's dependent on him. It's not dependent on our circumstances. And it's not dependent on you. And it's not dependent on you. And so that's the point that Jesus is getting to. Because there's a lot of things that Jesus could have said. It's very interesting. Jesus felt like this was an important piece to talk about to the crowds and those that visited him that day. And Jesus himself embodied this, because he did something that most of us can't imagine. He gave his life for people who would run away from him. He gave his life for people who would betray him, who would deny him. He gave his life for broken people just like us, for us. And he reminds us that none of us are too far from God's grace. That we can't outrun him. We can't avoid him. We can't be far enough away from him, because he is always there present to receive us. All he asks of us is that we turn away from the things that have been a part of our lives that have distracted us from following him. That we turn towards him and we say, God, I want you to be a part of my life. I want you to be my life. loving us.